Hey, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Welcome to the Unforget Yourself show, where we use the power of woo and the proof of science to help you identify your blind spots, get over your own bullshit, so that you can do the fucking thing you actually want to do.
Absolutely. I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the founders of Unforget Yourself and the creators of the Unforget Yourself system. Look, being a business owner is tough.
Yeah.
With vulnerability and with humor, mm-hmm. we'll be sharing with you the real stories behind the success of those brave and crazy enough to start their own business. And to show you that you're not alone.
You're not. Well, from the accidental entrepreneur to the laser-focused CEO, we have honest conversations about how they got to where they are today. We talk about the challenges that they faced and what they're currently dealing with in real time on their roller coaster journey. Along the way, we want to show you that it's you. You are the most important asset in your business.
Yeah, you are. So let's cut the bullshit and start the show.
Enjoy.
Okay, hello everyone and welcome to the show. So today we have with us Lisa Drennan, a wealth activator, helping a million women become millionaires without sacrificing their self-sovereignty and by falling head over heels in love with money. Hell yes. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mark. Excited to be here.
Can you expand a bit more on, you know, where your business is today and the kind of women that you love working with?
Yes. Oh, wow. The kind of women I love working with are women who are just strong, strong-willed. They're ready to take action. And they really have the drive to want to become millionaires. They're not afraid to step into their empowerment to say, hey, you know what? Finances has kind of fooled me for a while, but I'm ready to date money and I'm ready to hang out with it and to really just get into knowing from the inside out what money is like, what to be partnered with money. So my business is I'm started online in August of 20 as a wealth activator. I literally kicked off in November of 22. So I opened up my beta program and three lovely ladies came in and rocked it. They were like, wow. Within 3 weeks, they paid off over $25,000 worth of debt and did some really smart investments and really started to build out their own business because now they have the tools to do so. So I'm always like still launching. I'm still perfecting my goals in my business, but I'm just having so much fun with finances and dating money. I have this really cool money dating game where you can choose your partner. I have seven different money personalities. Ian, the investor, is the most popular right now.
Nice. I love the way you've personified money. You've given it a little bit of an ego around every single aspect that you can tap into, because I think that's important, and it actually breaks down the barriers and makes it more fun, because it's money is so serious, right? It is. It can be all consuming.
Yeah, when I was getting certified to become a financial coach, it was like, okay, the first thing you're going to do is tell people to cut back their expenses. And then we're going to do this and they're going to, you know, eat beans and rice. And I'm like, what? I hate the word budget. Budget's a dirty word. So we don't say the word budget. We say money management system or wealth activation roadmap. Uh-huh. And it is, we make it fun. And because it's simple, I actually had to redo my program from 12 steps to 3 steps, which was super challenging because I like to elaborate and go into detail. But I realized that who wants to do 12 steps? No one, right? So 3 simple steps to multiply your money and have fun while you're doing it, all with this concept of becoming partners with money rather than having that love-hate relationship or being ghosted or one night stands is one of my favorite things to say.
Yeah. And it's all about the flow. It's all about the inviting it in rather than, yeah, budget, stop spending, stop doing this. If you, as with anything in life, if you restrict the flow, it doesn't quite work out well. So I think that concept, and you can correct me if I'm completely off base here, but with money mindset, it is about being able to receive, allow yourself to receive, and actually give with abundance rather than scarcity. If you stop giving, you ain't going to receive. The law of flow.
Yeah, no, you nailed it. Yeah. The reciprocal energy of giving opens up the receiving. And a lot of women that I work with are afraid to give.
Mm.
but they're more afraid to receive because they don't want the help. They're like, no, I don't need it. They won't ask for help. So when they start that, I have a 10-10-10 wealth protocol. And with that, they save 10%, they give 10%, and then they have fun with 10%.
Yeah.
And some of them will be like, can I start off with like 1% only? And I was like, I make them do a $20 challenge just to enjoy their money. But the first thing that they'll choose to usually implement is a 10% giving. They're like, okay, well, who can I give to? And a lot of them will want to give to their kids, their adult kids. I'm like, okay, well, how is that? If you give to your kids, how do you receive back? Because usually when we give to our kids, well, you're not going to see anything in return. So just understanding this concept of like give to a charity, like, you know, pay it forward type of deal. Mm-hmm. And the joy that comes from within inside of you when you do that, it's amazing. You ever buy a stranger a cup of coffee and they're like, what? My husband and I do that. So we go out to dinner and we'll pick out a random couple in the restaurant and we'll tell the waitress, hey, bring us their check, tip and all, cover it. Mm-hmm. And people look around. We don't want them to know that we did it. We like to do it anonymously, but people look around like, what do you think did it? That was so generous.
See, and you're having, whether you're listening on the podcast here, you know, you're beaming, mm-hmm. positively beaming by telling that story. That's what it's all about. So how did you fall into this line of work? What was it that you decided, you know what, damn it. Yeah, this is what I want to do.
I got out of my own way. Started working my own program. I've actually been in finances and insurance since 1987. Uh-huh. So I went back, and one of the things my coach challenges me with is to write down the results that I have. And I started off as a health and fitness coach, always gearing it towards women post-abortion. And then I went into client attraction. And then I was like, just specifically working with women to help them work through their past hurts from post-abortion. And I just, my heart wasn't in it. And I would meet with my clients. They'd be like, oh, this isn't any fun. And all of them always asked me about finances. Like if I was doing client attraction, well, how do I set up my business portfolio? You know, what should I do? And insurance, it all went back to that. Mm. And when I met with my coach in November, we had a VIP day. All I talked about was money. And I personified money. And I'm like, you know, when I was growing up, we had all these idioms, and I learned going through my program with the post-abortion ladies that I was actually self-sabotaging my money because of my past choice. I had two abortions in 1985, 16 years old. I was always being told no. And my mom always told me, like both my parents were entrepreneurs, you have to borrow from Peter to pay Paul. So I was always told no when it came to buying things. And when I became a single mom, I was pregnant 3 times before the age of 17. So the third pregnancy I kept, became a single mom at 18. And I couldn't provide for my child. I was working full-time, part-time. And I was just literally living paycheck to paycheck, trying to clothe my child and being a single mom and all that. I was just like, okay. Not realizing that I had so much shame and guilt that I will allow money to run through my hands. So at 22, I went bankrupt. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to be a good steward. I'm going to nail this. So then I met my husband, and he's a financial genius. And, you know, with the two of us working together, I became a bankruptcy paralegal. And actually my job was to set up budgets for people after they filed. So I was a whiz at it. I mean, I knew exactly what I needed to do, but we only had an allowance of $100 a week to pay for gas, go out to eat, and buy clothes. So I had this sense of being deprived and being told no. So I was debt-free for a long time, built up this huge investment portfolio. And then when I hit 40, I went through a midlife crisis and I racked up over $100,000 worth of credit card debt. And I was like, oh my goodness, what did I just do? And I got scared. So I basically realized after doing all my own work that the idioms that I grew up with, not feeling worthy, not feeling valued, I was using that to soothe my own. And I thought, this is a problem. People don't get trained on how to do finances. All they do is get trained on, you need a budget, you need to cut expenses, you know, you need to literally.
Oh, let's just link that in. People don't get trained. You're absolutely right. But what people do not get trained in is understanding the patterns, the behaviors, the stories, the programming, our parents' beliefs. It's not their fault. They got it from their parents and the environments they were around. So there's that, all that thing. We don't understand where it comes from. It's just do this. Here's, as you said, it's all about budgets, but it's not looking at the entirety of, hold on, why is one person failing and one person succeeding using this budget? There's the nuance. I love that this is where you're going with your story.
Yeah. Budgets. Oh, I hate that word. Every time you say the word budget, I feel like you're saying like 10 F-bombs in a row. Like, it really makes me cringe to hear the word budget because I just remember how restrictive it was. And you really feel like someone's choking you to death. And you're right. The money mindset piece is huge, but knowing why, and you're right, it's a generational curse. It's not our parents' fault. But when I look at my parents, my grandparents, my maternal grandparents were wealthy. My grandfather was a cobbler, very successful cobbler. And my grandmother was a big shot at one of the Fortune 500 companies. They were whizzes with their money. They had so much money. Now, my other grandparents, my paternal grandmother was a widow at a very young age, and she raised 9 kids. So she was always like in this poverty mindset. So we had these two forces come together. And, you know, my dad was a risk taker, gambler, big time. My mom was very conservative, like, you know, you need to pay cash. But then they split up and then she got into this, I can never make ends meet. I got to borrow from Peter, pay Paul. And because she always told me no growing up, I was rebellious. You tell me no, I'm going to go out and do it anyways. So yeah, the mindset around it, but not realizing it because I was so good at hiding my feelings. I did not want to show any emotion because I had 3 older brothers. And if you cried, you were a baby and I wasn't going to be no baby. So every time I wanted to soothe something, I would just go do what I wanted to do and I would get whatever I wanted to get. And it would take.
So you would overcorrect. Yeah. And that would give you the thrill, the excitement, the relief, the need, whatever it was for you.
Yeah.
That's so interesting to see that aspect and how it kind of guided you. And I think guided you into this business right now. And
yeah.
So with those beliefs, with the background that you've had, with the wealth of experiences in all these different areas, how has that impacted, controlled, helped you in the last couple of years to grow the business that you now are passionate about?
Just like I said earlier, just getting out of my own way and realizing like I am worthy. You know, a lot of us have conversations inside of our heads that we beat ourselves up. We're our biggest critic. And we would never talk to anyone else that way. So why do we talk to ourselves that way? And when it comes to money, we do the same thing because I was so afraid to look at my money. I literally had everything on auto pay because I'm a procrastinator and I would open up my bill and then I wouldn't pay my bills. And then I'd get late fees. And sometimes I would bounce a check and they'd be like, really? Like you know all about this. What is your problem? And just continuing this cycle, and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to do better. So when I started actually dating money in the, you know, 25 years ago, I would sit down and I'm like, okay, it's on my calendar. This is it, everyone. I'm going to go date money. And they're like, what? What is wrong with you? And I would sit down and I would spread out all my worksheets. You know, back then we used paper and pen. And I would print out all my, I would, you know, open up all my bills and I would look at everything. I'm like, how do I do this better? Like 3-4 hours later, how do I do this better? So then they introduced the auto pay. And I was like, you know what? I can do this on auto pay and not have to worry about it. So what I did is I took my entire paycheck and my money from my side gig. And I created this 10-10-10, well, the 10-10 plan at that time, set everything on auto pay, but I paid myself first. I was saving 30% of my income, giving away 10%, and then using the rest for my bills. And I had this snowball in effect for my credit cards, but I wouldn't total anything up. I was like, no, we're just going to look at these little, I compartmentalized and looked at these little pieces. So when I get my paycheck, I wouldn't pay attention to my investments because it was so far off into the future before I could even touch it, right? In my mind, it was 62 minimum. And I was only like in my, you know, late 30s. And then my bills, I knew I had to pay the bills. They were set, so I didn't have to worry about it. And then my debt, I'd be like, if I could just pay off this one credit card, then I'll be okay. That's what I did. So when I got my net pay, I had all these different allotments coming out. I only had $200 every 2 weeks. And I'd be like, oh my God, where's all my money? Like, this is ridiculous. Not realizing that everything was taken care of. And this $200 was my money to do whatever I wanted to do with. Like, I literally, remember the envelope system? I literally had envelopes and totally did this, separated everything in my own mind. And then if I looked at my debt, I would go out and I'd pay off one credit card and then I would get into a cycle and just charge it up again. So it's literally like playing with 0%. So with all of that, it just was like, why am I doing this? Why? And what is, I knew I had to get deeper into my
own mindset. What was holding you back? Was there a level of avoidance? Was there a level of hiding? What was it?
It was hiding, definitely hiding. Because I didn't feel worthy to receive. Like, I was making $100,000 a year in my job.
So how does that shift to now? Because now you're the new entrepreneur. Now you're away from that world. You're creating your own business that you never thought you'd have. This is a different world completely. It's a different mindset. You're going through the transition right now. Is for you personally, is this uncomfortable as you're growing as an entrepreneur?
Absolutely, 100%. My stomach is in knots just thinking about the entrepreneurial world. And like, I know I have the systems, but to be able to rise above and to step out of 9 to 5 to come into this and think, I get to call the shots, I get to make all the decisions, I need to do this. But if my mindset is not right, especially like, you know, they say that anything you do in like wealth, health, relationships, it's across the board. So if you're a procrastinator in paying your bills, you're going to be a procrastinator in building your business, building your clientele, you know, and time is money, right?
If you can't show yourself some love, how can you show it to other people?
Right.
They're all connected.
Exactly. And if you don't love yourself, if you're constantly looking in the mirror and beating yourself up, you're not going to get anywhere because.
So let's pause right there. The entrepreneur, you know what show you're on, the Unforget Yourself show. We talk about entrepreneurs, about their journey. And I can tell it's uncomfortable for you being this entrepreneur. It's a new journey. It's a new identity. Everyone at home's nodding along going, I feel the same way. You've avoided a question 3 times about your current business to tell me a story about how you got there, which is amazing. But it's like, oh, isn't this interesting?
I'm good at avoiding. It's why I'm a master at it. I don't even know that I do it. I literally will forget the question and then
it's all so relevant. And this is a nice sort of a sort of pivot on this episode where you get to see crumbs. Let's take it into the uncomfortable place. I'm not going to let you avoid it anymore. I want to talk about where you are right now because oh my gosh, now is the time that matters. Your legacy story has brought you to where you are. That has given you everything that you need to move forward. But the transition into the entrepreneur. Some people come to this show and they're accidental entrepreneurs. They didn't mean to become a business owner. It just kind of happened. They woke up as like, oh, crumbs. It's not working. Why is it not working? It's all down to where we are. So how have you found it as you've gone through the last, I don't know, 6 months, year, as you've been finding your feet as the business owner?
That's a great question. I'm not quite sure how to answer that. It's challenging. I mean, there's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of tears. There's a lot of anger and frustration. And it's one of the most challenging things I've ever done. And yeah, I purposely did it. I retired 2.5 years early to step into this.
And, oh, fantastic.
Yeah. And I just really have this passion to want to help women with their finances. And I think that drive is what motivates me. And when I see the results, when I see my clients like get it and light up and have that look of confusion just come off their face, I'm like, this is why I'm doing it. So, but it is like every single day, it's a choice for me to figure out like, where are my blocks? And I've hid my emotions for so long that I have to practice knowing what my emotions are to identify them.
Yeah.
My initial response is disgust and anger. And, you know, until the movie Inside Out came out, I didn't even know what emotions were. And so to, you know, and I hate being uncomfortable. I like to feel confident. And, you know, I got to spend 30 years in a 9-to-5 being confident. I was a claims technical expert. I knew everything and people looked up to me. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like looking around going, okay, I can do this. I can do this. But am I good enough? Am I worthy enough? And
so you know your shit. You're good at what you do. Your students have proven that. What you've been through personally has proven that. So many coaches have been through something and then they teach what they needed, or they teach so people don't have to go through that. There's a pain, there's some kind of desire. So where you are is you've retired early, became the entrepreneur, built your business based on what you know, and you're seeing the fruits of helping other women to, as I said, get that awareness, understand what it is. So everything that you're teaching your clients right now is exactly what you need, that new awareness, that understanding that you're not expert at this, but oh my gosh, in the delivery, in what you do, no one can touch you. And I love that. But it's tough.
And I love me a challenge, so.
Ooh, beautiful. Well, you've not given up yet. There must be times where you think, it's too much. Why did I do this, right?
My husband says that to me a lot. It gets me thinking.
How do you cope with, it may come from the right place. It may be a comment that wasn't meant to be hurtful or wasn't meant to be destructive, but it impacts the entrepreneur, the business owner. What is it like for you, and how do you move through that to keep yourself going?
I journal a lot. One of my favorite things to do, and I teach this to my clients, is to captivate our thoughts. So if we think about what we're thinking, and external or internally, why do we have this thought, and what feeling does it create, and where does that come from? And the more you do it, like I do a brain dump every day, and the more I do it, the more layers I'm burying it. Like my history and my past from when I was a little girl, totally messed up. Like some of the things that I've learned about my own experiences that I totally, and I've lost it. I mean, both my parents are gone. Two of my three brothers are gone. Mm. So, you know, with each of their passing, I've learned something new about myself. And uncovered, like, wait a minute, I remember this memory, like, where is this coming from? And some of it's a little bit shaded. But there was a lot of stuff that I'm not proud of in my family that I fear will come through as a business owner, because they were all business owners. They were all entrepreneurs, every single one of them.
Oh, so you're battling so many demons, not just in the bubble of money mindsets in money management, which is what you help people through, but in its entirety, you're battling so many other demons that you're scared this might happen to you, this might come out, all these things, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The generational curses, you know, and I don't want to model what they did in business, especially when it came to managing their money, but yeah. Sometimes like the way that they treated their clients or what have you, like, totally disagree with the ethics. And it's like, why did they do that? You know, and so I'm always like really careful. And I think it creates a block for me and makes me so scared that no, I'm not doing that today. You know, even something as simple as having a conversation in the DM with someone, like, I'm very blunt. Let's just get to the point. And it's just like softening like my tone and my attitude and just being very empathetic and compassionate and just not, you know, like they say not to focus on the money, but why are we entrepreneurs?
Yeah.
You know, and the more money you have, the more you can help people. So there's always different beliefs around money that come up, and we focusing on it with I'm hungry for money makes you treat somebody completely different.
You probably found that with sales calls, with marketing, with conversations. If you're in a scarcity mindset, oh my gosh, you show up as a different version, whether you know it or not. And that's only one thread, but there are so many different avenues to this. You get, Lisa, you get to be the entrepreneur that you want to be. You get to work this out. If you want to be blunt, be fucking blunt, straight to the point. If you want to be calm and you know, guide people through, do that. I will always advise whatever is right for you. And I think you're going to go through an uncomfortable phase to find that. But once you do and realize that if I can just be me, then things will work out. I can be more authentic. I rather than watch my words and bite my tongue, just be you. Mm-hmm. And the right people be like, fuck yes, Lisa, thank you. That's helped me. I think that could be one of the most glorious transitions that you could possibly do right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it.
Does that excite you or fill you with fear and uncomfort?
No, I just like a little light shined through my mind. Like, yeah, there's a lot of possibilities. And I didn't realize that I wasn't like that. I have a lot of mask. I didn't realize that, you know, someone brought to my attention that I act differently in person than I do online. I was like, and then I act differently with my family members. So I've been actually working on being authentic. And so I asked my husband, like, you know, your spouse, you're always blunt and what you'll say, whatever. Right. So like, well, he goes, well, if you start treating people the way you treat me, because you're never going to have any clients. And I'm like, you are spoiled. Like, that is not true.
But, that is the opposite. I treat people like that. I'll clean up here. I'll change the world. Oh, love that. Hey, Lisa, we could talk for another hour on this. It's been amazing. But thank you for sharing your story, what you've been through, how you came on this journey, and yeah, everything that you're going through right now. It's fascinating. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I liked the conversation. I liked the way it flowed. It was a little bit unexpected for me. And like I said, I like a challenge. So
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad you got some value from this. And hopefully people at home listening along have sort of followed. And yeah, what can you explore on your own? So Lisa, look, if people want to find out more about you and the work that you do, where can they find you?
idatemoney.com, my website. You can experience the money dating game, but it's a fun place to go check it out. You can learn all about me there.
There you are. Everyone, check it out if you're curious. And Lisa, again, thank you so much for joining us. It's been fascinating.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Hey, Katie.
Yeah, Mark.
Want to do an outro?
I sure do.
Sweet. Hey, thank you so much for listening and making it to the end.
Yay, you.
So what happens next?
We ask them the things that podcasters are supposed to ask at the end of an episode.
Can you please rate, review, download?
Subscribe.
Mm.
Yeah.
But why is it important?
Because that's how our podcast gets noticed.
It's how people find us.
It is. And we want all their earballs.
All the earballs all over the place.
We do.
Nice.
Yeah. So please do all those things. We'll be ever so grateful.
And then more people hear your beautiful voice.
Or yours.
Oh, yeah. See you next time.
Bye.